Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. One of my favorite guests. I've had her on the program a couple of times now. In fact, she was one of our first guests when we're just getting our teeth cut on this radio thing, a Miss Gail Cunningham. She is Vice President of Membership and Public Relations for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. The website is nfcc.org. Gail, welcome back to the program again.
Well, I'm absolutely thrilled to talk to you and your listeners, and we are going to kick off the year with some good financial advice today.
Well, we need that. We all, you know what? We all need a good kick, as you put it, and some better well-placed than others. But I tell you what, you know, there are, of course, there's two tracks that we run on as a country. There's good things happening and not so good things happening. And I know that in the work that you do and the work that you've done for many years, you began your career counseling back in 1987. Was that your first year out of high school when you started doing that?
There we go. I like how you think.
Very good. Mine too. And so you've been providing that one-on-one counseling to consumers for years. And I know that your message has reached tens of thousands of people. And someday maybe I'll be able to do that with a message of financial planning. But you've done it all. You've been featured as an expert on pretty much all of the major television programs, NBC Nightly News, Associated Press has had you, Smart Money, Forbes, Newsweek, Bloomberg. I mean, boy, what a list. And I get to put you on Real Money with yours truly, David Holland. So many things that you've done and seen. A couple of the big obvious questions, let's get them out front and out of the way. Has it always been this difficult for people to, I guess, make smart money choices? And if it's not, what's making it harder now?
Gosh, what a great question. It's a wonderful question, and one that causes me to reflect a bit. I do think that personal money management gets more complicated each day. Now, pile on top of that our lives in general are more complicated each day. There are more demands on us. Who has time to come home and pore over their finances each night as they're trying to put dinner on the table, help with homework, coach some little league, etc. So it becomes more and more difficult, which allows us to give consumers tips on how to be more strategic about their thinking, more organized in their financial planning, etc. Long ago, I began saying that financial stability is a series of small, smart steps taken over time. And I still believe that to be true. It's just that a lot of the bells and whistles have changed.
Well, I think you're exactly right on with that. And, you know, we all think back. It doesn't take long. Think back to a simpler, easier, not so complicated time in our life and go, golly, why can't things be like that? You know, I guess part of doing the financial forethought or thinking ahead and taking a step at a time is trying to get back to that place where you feel that way. Because, you know, I do financial planning for a living, and I still find it very often to be complicated and complex.
Well, you know, on your side of the fence, the products that you have to offer your clients have become much more complex. That's an understatement.
Well, I had to go and get another degree in a foreign language. You know what it is? It's called it's called Finglish. Okay, because it's evolved into a whole nother language. And so I spend most of my time, Gail, translating Finglish into English for people so they can understand what this stuff's all about.
Well, I don't doubt that. I really don't. And we are so thankful to have people like you that are dedicated to their profession. And then, you know, on my side of the fence, I would give the illustration that we used to need a loan, let's say, and we'd go to the corner because mm-hmm. the bank was down there on the corner.
Right. Wasn't that nice?
Now we go to our desk and we log on right somewhere. So keeping up is difficult. Online banking, online shopping, applying for credit cards online, et cetera. It's all changed, and it's very difficult for some to keep up, you know, with mobile applications, et cetera.
Yeah. It is. And that's where some of that complexity comes from. Well, I know that you have just done a report or did a press release where you found something very candid about the study you guys did. So I'm going to tease our listeners to come right back after this break, because it was really amazing when I read this, and I wanted you to have them come on the program and talk about it. So stay right there, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, we are back. I know I teased you before the break, ladies and gentlemen. Gail Cunningham, Vice President of Public Relations with National Foundation for Credit Counseling, the website nfcc.org. You're going to want that website because Gail is going to share with us a very revealing study report out that they have about consumers and the financial problems that they are faced with. So how's that for a setup, Gail? Tell us about it.
Well, it's kind of fun. Each month we run a poll on the homepage of our website, nfcc.org, and I set up that poll, and sometimes I'm pretty good at guessing how it's going to turn out. But I must admit, when I set this one up, I really didn't know where consumers would land. We ask a very straightforward question. The majority of my financial problems have been, and we gave them two choices, A, self-inflicted, such as overspending, financially unorganized, etc., or B, caused by events beyond my control, job loss, medical, mm-hmm. etc. So I had to wait till the end of the month to find out, and overwhelmingly, 63% of more than 2,000 respondents admitted my financial woes are self-inflicted.
How about that?
I have to tell you, that was good news, because I think that the first step in solving a problem is recognizing the problem, or as the younger folks would say, you got to own it.
Well, I think that that was pretty much saying they own it. You know, that is encouraging, and you know, because we hear in the media, of course, that everything is about blaming somebody else for whatever your problems are, and you know, I'm going to vote, where's my, when do I get my check in the mail kind of thing. We hear about all that, and it's good to hear that people really are cognizant of their, you know, what causes things to happen. Now, to kind of respond to that, I know this is not something necessarily you guys came out directly in response, but one of the things that you've offered at NFCC is a recommendations for an action plan. Now, let's give people a little, before we get into that kind of step-by-step thing, Gail, the NFCC's role is to do credit counseling, and you have, remind me again, you have associated or affiliated agencies across the country?
That's right. We are the largest network of nonprofit, community-based credit counseling agencies in America. And we have about 750 physical locations from coast to coast, and that translates into us helping around 3 million people per year. So if you're listening today and you think you're all alone with your financial problems, you're not. I'm here to tell you, you're not. And I believe I'm starting my 27th year in this sector. So
wow.
I kind of have to count that up occasionally. But know that you are not alone, and there is legitimate help available to you. And, you know, touching on what you said about people being willing now to admit or take ownership of their own financial problems. This is one of the silver linings to the hard times that we've been through, and unfortunately for many, they're still going through it.
Absolutely.
But when times are good, we tend to kick back and put our finances on autopilot and pat ourselves on the back about what a good job we're doing. The recession forced us to crawl back over into the driver's seat, exactly where we belong with our personal finance. Now, we may have gone there kicking and screaming, but so many Americans have gone back into the driver's seat, realizing no one cares more about their personal finances than they do. They've taken control. They've begun paying down debt to the best of their ability. And the big question out there is, will consumers repeat the financial sins of the past? And by that, I mean, will they dig that deep financial hole again once credit becomes more readily available? Will they load up their wallet with plastic? Or are they going to be more responsible this time?
Well, we'll have to wait and see, because that's a difficult one, because, you know, we know that there are different generations, Gail, that have lived through different things, and it profoundly affected them, of course, with the Great Depression being the easiest easiest example. So I think this lesson's going to stick with people for a long time.
Well, you know what we found is even if you weren't personally impacted by the recession, you knew someone who was, either in your family or in the cubicle next door, whatever. So it touched you at some level. You saw the for sale signs going up in your neighborhood. You saw marriages being wrecked, et cetera.
Well, and back over on your website, the NFCC.org site, people can go in there and actually start an online counseling session about credit and get directed to somebody locally. That's how it works, right? They can start on your website and then end up finding a local brick-and-mortar place to sit down and talk to somebody.
They surely can. And I mentioned those 750 or so offices. If it's more convenient or if you're just wired this way that you would rather have counseling over the phone or online, that's available too. You know, so many people work different shifts now, and so traditional business hours to come in for an appointment doesn't work for everybody. But we like to say that our counseling is consumer driven, so whatever works for the consumer works for us.
Outstanding. Gail Cunningham is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. You can tell Gail and I are old friends talking on the radio about these important financial issues. She's Vice President of Membership and Public Relations for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Say that 10 times fast. Gail, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back, and I want to talk about these 12 action steps for implementing a recovery and a solution to credit challenges. So stay right there.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back with Gail Cunningham, Vice President of Membership and Public Relations for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, and the website, great website, nfcc.org. You can start your credit counseling or exploring different issues right there on that site, and they get referred to a local location or just talk to somebody over the phone. Gail, let's talk about the 12 action steps. We kind of set that up and referred to that before the break. What is that all about? What is its purpose? And then we can maybe start walking through them and explaining how it works and what it's about.
Well, these represent some of those smart, small steps I referenced earlier. And I set it up as 12 because here we are at the start of the year. You could implement one of these tips each month of the year, and this time next year, you'll be in a very different financial
place. You're trying to make it easy for us.
I am.
No excuses. One carrot at the end of each month. That's good.
That's right. I think anybody can do that. But, you know, we've got some overachievers out there, and they may want to do them all right now, all in the first quarter, and more power to them. This is very doable, and they're the basic building blocks of financial stability, and they start with getting your credit report. In our annual financial literacy survey, we ask folks, have you gotten your credit report? And about 65% of them say no. Now, I got to tell you, your report is free, so you can't say I can't afford it, free at annualcreditreport.com. And also, I want to frame it this way for your listeners. If there were a letter circulating around town about you, you'd be wild to read it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, your credit report is your financial history.
And it's more detailed than ever, isn't it?
Exactly. And you need to read that because it determines whether the lender's going to say yes for that loan, whether the bank is going to say yes for that credit card, the house of your dreams, the car you've got your eye on, et cetera, if they're going to say yes or no, and if they say yes, at what level your interest, your APR will be. Extremely important. It's about you. You need to get it. Make sure that it's accurate. Dispute or challenge any inaccuracies. Now, let me tell you your next question. I'm turning into a mind reader here. It's going to be, well, Gail, you're talking about that credit report, but what about the credit score? And we can go into that in more detail. But what I want people to know, everybody becomes maniacal about their credit score. It starts with the credit report because the score is entirely based on the information in your credit report.
There you are. It's right there. Well, I tell you what, you were reading my mind because I was thinking about the score. You're about talking about that next because It is. Not only is that report so important, but the score which follows from it. You know, you mentioned about loans and stuff. I've been in a car dealership before, and I getting ready to do the car and take out a loan. And the very, I was sitting right there with the finance guy, and the very first thing he did when he was talking to whoever he needed to talk to on the other end of the line was tell him my credit score.
Of course. I mean, those three magic numbers will dictate your financial future. And when you buy your score, now you can get your credit report for free. You're going to have to pay a few bucks to get your credit score, but it'll be some of the best money you've ever spent. It will come with some concrete steps of how to improve your score.
There you go.
So I guess that becomes even more homework for you.
Well, I think that's good because that leads really to the next. And this is the one that, of course, so far, these are not too hard, Gail. Now you're really going to, the next one is one that we've got to really work on, and it requires just some real fierce determination. And it's two really tough things, reduce debt.
You know, right now, everybody is getting two things in their mailbox. They're getting their paycheck. And guess what? That paycheck is lower.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because of the Social Security tax hike. The Social Security tax holiday, it was called for the previous 2 years, was that we got a reduced rate down from 6.2% to 4.2% in the amount that was contributed from our paycheck over into Social Security. And the idea behind that was we'll put more money in consumers' pockets that will stimulate spending and help the economy. And we can debate that, whether that worked, another day. But that's over. And everybody's Social Security contribution just went up, and they're realizing that their paycheck is smaller. And the illustration that's often given is if you make $50,000 a year, you're going to have $1,000 less in your paycheck in 2013.
And that's going to have to come from somewhere, isn't it?
Got to come from somewhere.
Well, maybe maybe that's an opportunity as you are evaluating what you're going to do to try to, you know, deal with the $1,000 or whatever the reduction is to also look at, you know, that reduction ways to work on debt and also make a commitment to savings.
Well, everybody's got to save. Again, referring to our financial literacy survey, 30% of Americans have zero in savings, non-retirement savings. Now, we're talking about that flat tire, that leaky toilet, et cetera, the one trip to the emergency room. These types of things wreck monthly budgets if you don't have some money to fall back on for savings. But, you know, back on reducing debt, that's the, as they say, the 800-pound elephant in the room. On your mailbox, you're getting your paycheck, and you're seeing that it's less, but also your holiday spending bills are coming in. So you have less money to work with and larger debt obligations. You know, what's a person to do? We really recommend what you referenced. Just hunker down. Face the financial facts and get that holiday spending paid off at least by the first quarter. It's highly likely that you piled new debt on top of old. So at least pay off the new debt in the first quarter.
Well, that's it. You got it, Gail. I mean, it's not going to go away, and it's something that we got to work on and whittle down and just try to avoid, you know, having that linger. And I know that there are a number of other things we need to get to. We're going to take one more quick break here, Gail. Gail Cunningham is our guest, Vice President of Membership and Public Relations for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, nfcc.org. And we're going to take a short break, come back and talk about some of the other things people can do as they go through your 12 steps. Stay right there.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
And I'm back with Gail Cunningham, nfcc.org's website for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Gail, there's so many more things to get to. Another thing that's really helpful, and I even do this myself, you know, people out there saying, David, you're a financial guy, you got it all figured out. Well, I'll tell you what, I have to stop myself and say, okay, let me make sure I stay organized. And really, that's another, you could almost put that at the very top. is getting organized, knowing what the debts are, and then when you know what they are, you can then evaluate which ones need to be paid off first. I use the analogy, if you'll indulge me, Gail, as I, when people are trying to make payments on different debt, you know, there's different schools of thought, but one of the things I like is to see what all the debt payments are. You pay minimums on everything, and then you try to put any extra money toward the one with the highest debt, and then we work our way down. And I liken it to having 50 garden hoses. You know, if I have one garden hose, if I splash you with it, you're going to say, hey, don't get me wet. But if I take all 50 and put them together, that's a fire hose. And so as I pay off the debt, I can apply more and more money each month toward the next successive higher interest, go down the line and work my way through. And I can't do that if I'm not organized.
Oh, you're so right. And I hate to tell you, but of those 3 million people that come through our doors each year, a disturbing number of them walk in with grocery sacks filled with unopened bills.
Now, well, it's just, I play psychologist here for a minute. It's just too painful that they can't open it. It's just too painful. And it's like they even want somebody else to be a buffer. You open them and then tell me what I need to know, and I'll try to take that versus just the brutal reality of myself sitting there looking at those statements.
You're right. And we've come back to when our conversation began about the complexity of where do I even begin? They have no idea of how to get this organized. And the average person that comes to us also has 6 credit cards. They think, I can't call 6 different creditors and tell them my story and ask for help. And how do I know what I'm doing? Or how do I know if I'm getting the best deal with them, et cetera? So I really suggest that people create a personal financial center. And that sounds all fancy, and that's not at all what I mean. If you have a spare bedroom and you can set up an office in there, more power to you. But I'm saying you can also get an accordion folder.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to make this any more complicated, because once you get organized, then you can make sure. Here's the other thing. Make sure at least, you know, people are able to make minimum payments, but then they get, and I've had this happen in my house where a bill gets put on the counter and something gets put on top of it. And oh, wait a minute. We uncover it and we're like, oops, that better go in the mail today. You know, and it's not something where I've made a mistake. It's just, if you don't keep things organized in a central place like Gail is suggesting, or even in that accordion, it's really easy for stuff to, literally, the dog can eat your bill, okay? The dog can eat your homework. I mean, it happens. I've got a couple of little schnauzers, and they love to chew on something like that. But you can avoid the late fees. That's a big one for you, Gail. And then also avoid overdraft fees, again, by being organized.
That's right. You're going to save yourself money, and those late dings on that credit report, don't forget that, because what that's going to do is lower your credit score. Nothing good about paying late. You're going to owe a late fee. You're going to negatively impact your credit report, and you're going to lower your credit score. Just don't let it happen to you. You know, so often people sit at the mailbox. I'll see them. They get their mail. They get back in their car, and they sit there and go through it. They may stuff something up in their visor. Mm-mm. They may put it in their purse. Well-meaning people. It's just that day never comes when you look back in that visor or dig to the bottom of your purse, and then all of a sudden it's happened to you. So, again, very simple here. Very simple steps. Get organized and commit to visiting your financial center at least once a week.
I like it. And then you get the next couple you have, which kind of go together, is tracking your spending and then creating a realistic spending plan. So, okay, what are the fixed expenses I have? And then what minimum payments do I have? And then how much money is left over? And then basically, how much of that can I devote to whittling down a step at a time, whittling down the debt?
You're so right. You've got to face the financial facts again. And I suggest getting a calendar and marking on it every payday for everyone in the household who brings in money. Then come back and get out all those bills, those pesky bills again, and you put down all the due dates. Now, what you may find is there's not enough money out of that paycheck to satisfy all of your debt obligations that are due. Call the creditor. Ask them to adjust your due date. Explain your situation. Now, you may have to pay a little bit of interest to move your due date from the 7th to the 21st, let's say, but that will be a one-time hit on you, because long-term, then, it's going to fit better in your payment schedule, and you won't always be scrambling to make ends meet. And one more tip in here, too, back on being organized, once you get everything arranged, set up automatic bill pay. If you're a procrastinator or are unorganized, or maybe you travel for work, some things are very easy to put on automatic bill pay if they have the same amount due each month, your cable bill or something like that.
And you know what else, Gail, is if it's not in your account and you've paid the bill, there's a good chance then that you won't spend the money, and it helps you just be more, it helps, it's kind of, not only is it automatic bill pay, but it's automatic discipline for yourself and saying, nope, I'm not going to bounce a check or I'm not going to make good on that payment because it's gone. It's out of there.
Great point.
Gail, we are, I know it's hard to believe, but we're already out of time. We'll have you back another day. It's always a pleasure to have you. Gail Cunningham, ladies and gentlemen, Vice President of Membership and Public Relations for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Good folks doing some great stuff. NFCC.org. Gail, thanks for being with me.
I'm already looking forward to next time.
All right. We'll be talking soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.